So the great day of Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, 50 days after Easter, it's an integral part of the promise that God gave us as a movement, as a people, as the body of Christ. And with that anointing in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, when he said, "All authority has been given to me. Go ye into all the world. And lo, I will be with you always." You know, that section of Scripture is the Great Commission. And it takes an anointing to do that. It takes the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to have that go power. Amen. To have that power, that get up and go, that excitement, that willingness to bring the harvest in from the fields of this world. And there is a great harvest out there for this church, for churches all over America, all over this world. A harvest of souls. That's what our biggest and most important concern is. If you're a believer in Christ Jesus, is to tell someone else about that great love and that great power, that great knowledge that we have of the Word that lives within us. The Bible even says that we are earthen vessels, that we carry around a treasure, that when people will see us, they will know the radiance and the aroma, the beauty of God in our lives, and they'll want to be attached to that. They'll want to know about that. They'll want to ask about Jesus. You know, and I really feel that if people would grab a hold and understand that since that promise, there has been many souls saved and baptized with fire, which John the Baptist stated would happen. He said this would happen, and we have this promise in Matthew 3:11, "I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am. So much greater that I'm not worthy even to be his slave or carry his sandals. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire." Amen. He spoke that, and it is happening over and over and over and over and over. I mean, billions of people have been touched by the Holy Ghost of the living God. These 2,000 years that we've spent, there's been such great changes. The church, back in those days, when in the time of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the upper room, which we'll look at in just a moment, changed the whole face of the church. What was became brand new, and what is today. And I believe today we need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit again. Amen. I believe the church needs to ask for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Yes. And I believe that without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, you're not able to accomplish much.
That's right.
You're not being able to overcome without the power of the Holy Spirit, without prayer. And without that knowledge, the DNA of the day of Pentecost. Jesus told the disciples to go to Jerusalem and wait to be endued with power from God on high. Luke 24:48-49, "You are witnesses of all these things," what they've seen. You're witnessed it all. How much have you all witnessed that's in this room today? How much have you seen? How much have you believed? How deeply have you embraced the gift of salvation and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? "And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." That's amazing. Stay here. Wait till you're endued with power. That's amazing. Wait till the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Wait till you know that that power is in you and that you are now that earthen vessel carrying around that anointing of the Holy Spirit. Jesus also directed them again to as to what they, the disciples, would experience in Jerusalem in Acts 1, 4 through 5. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." That's amazing. I want you to get in that picture with Jesus and the disciples. You got baptized in water like John said, but now you're going to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You're going to be filled with God's power, and that power is going to give you the ability to overcome. Amen. To move forward, to break through every problem, to tear down every wall, to leap over walls, to get by every structure, every detour that the enemy puts in front of you, to be able to discern which is of God, which is of man, and which is of the enemy. To be able to move with God in prayer, in praise. You see, I believe people, when they're baptized and full of the Holy Ghost, they pray like they, and they praise like they mean it. Amen. Amen. Praise God, and they preach like they mean it. Because it's a fire that burns within. Jesus directed them again as to what they, the disciples, would experience in Jerusalem. Again, it says, Acts 1 and 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere." In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I always like to ask this question when I'm preaching about Pentecost. Is how many people this week did you say to Jesus is Lord and Savior? You may have been in prayer telling Jesus about people, but the reverse is, have you been telling people about Jesus? Letting them know that he's alive, that he's worthy of praise. It's simple. When you pass someone, you just say, "Jesus loves you." They want to hear something like that. They want to be invited to church. They want to be invited to Bible study. They want to be invited to a group. They want to be invited to an outing. They want to be invited to come around people. They want to know about Jesus Christ. "Well, Pastor, I can't do that at work." I understand that. I was an HR senior specialist for years. I understand what that is. You can't do that. There's policies and procedures. But you can live a Christian life. And those actions state who you are. And when you're off the job, the employment, off the premise, you can tell people about Jesus all the time. Tell your waitress or waiter about Jesus. Praise God. You can tell your neighbor about Jesus. You can tell your person in line at Starbucks about Jesus. Praise God. I was at Starbucks one day, and there was a whole line of people there, and I just had to get a water. So I asked this guy, you know, I said, "Do you mind if I jump ahead? Because I just have to get this water. I have an appointment to get to." And this young teenage boy with his friends, they were kind of laughing and joking. He says, "Sure, go ahead. That's fine." So I got up there, and as soon as I came to there, I bought the water, and I said, "Now I want you to buy whatever that man wants. I will pay for it." And his mouth dropped open. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "You are so kind to me. I'm going to be kind to you. I'm a pastor, and I want you to know that my kindness is formatted in the love of Jesus Christ. And I want to buy whatever you want. I don't care how expensive it is. You order it, and I'm going to pay for it." He didn't know what to do. He was numb, standing in line. His other friends were nudging each other and saying, "Man, I wish that was me up front." You see what I'm saying? You got to be able to show the love of Jesus Christ. And when you're empowered by the Holy Spirit, you don't have to be an evangelist, even though I think everyone born again and empowered by the Holy Spirit has evangelist roots in them. You should be able to tell people about Jesus Christ. Tell them about his love and his mercy and his grace and how he can save you by the voice that you show in repentance, asking for forgiveness and asking for Jesus to come into your life. Amen. As this promise was instilled in the upper room, where 120 people waited for the promise, there was a noticeable character that was formed in all of them. a noticeable character that was formed in each and every one of them. How marvelous is that? And listen to this. They received a spiritual DNA from the Lord our God. And everyone in this room, if you have been baptized in the Holy Ghost, if you have been saved by the confession of your mouth, you have a spiritual DNA and you need to activate that. You need to have that DNA ready to be applauded and to applaud and to praise and to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. They receive this spiritual DNA. The first one is the divine visit. Hallelujah to the Lamb. D, divine visit in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, everybody say suddenly. There was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm and filled the house where they were sitting. Then they looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Spirit gave them this ability. All of the 120, not just some, all of the 120 were waiting in an upper room patiently. I don't know what their conversations were like. I would have loved to have been there to hear them. There on the day of Pentecost, at this particular point, there they are 50 days after Passover. They're there in this particular upper room. Maybe they're discussing Jesus. Maybe they're just being people like people are. Maybe they're discussing the kids or the family or something that happened recently that everyone knew about. But they were waiting. They knew a promise was coming. They knew that Jesus said, wait. Wait for the promise of the Father to come. Wait for the Holy Spirit to come. They knew that this was going to happen for them, and they knew that through this period of time, they were going to be established and they were going to be believers in what the Lord stated. I wonder how come today people don't seem so established. They seem to believe some things and not other things. They seem to deal with problems, but yet they don't want God to help their problems because they're spending more time with their problems than they are with the promise. I wonder how come people don't pray like they used to pray. Travail before the Lord and sing songs with God in their car as they drive, or go to their prayer place and sing songs and praise God, or sit quietly before the Lord in their prayer place and just listen for the voice of God. You know, I wonder if it's not because they're not allowing that spiritual DNA to stir in their spirit, that ability to rise up and be able to pray and to go bow before a promise instead of bowing before a problem. And instead of living in fear, they live in faith. They believe no matter what it looks like, my God is able to do all that I ask or think, exceedingly abundantly more than able to do all that I ask or think, according to that power, that DNA that's in me right now overcomes the world. Amen. I pray today that people will begin to say, you know what? I'm going to start bowing before the promise. I'm going to start believing that God is going to do it. No matter what it looks like, no matter how bleak it is, or no matter how successful I am and how bright I am, whatever's keeping me from bowing before God, I am going to stop bowing before that, and I am going to start bowing before the Lord God Almighty, the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. Praise God. Yes. They were praying. They were discussing. They were having fellowship. I wonder sometimes why the church today doesn't have prayer and fellowship. and discussions about the Lord and about the goodness of God and the beauty of God, instead of having discussions about the problems, the difficulties of life, the fears, oh, the woes and the oh my goshes. Let me tell you something. God wants us to talk about Him. God wants us to show that spiritual DNA. God wants us to rise up and say, here I am, Lord. Use me. Here I am. I'm empowered. Here I am, God. I am an overcomer by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the testimony of my mouth, and I don't fear my death even as unto life. Oh, I don't fear death. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I believe. I have a willingness to hear what the Lord is saying today. He says it. That we should reach up with holy hands in prayer. Paul said, oh, that I wish men everywhere would lift up holy hands and pray. Amen. Pray. Seek the face of God. Let God know that you truly believe in Him. Let God know that you know that He is God in your life. And nothing is going to take you out. Nothing's going to cut you off at the knees. Nothing's going to overcome you. No matter how bad the storm is, He is greater than the storm. Amen. No matter how dark it may be, He's the light that penetrates darkness. No matter how deep the valley, He is the God of the mountain and the God of the valley. He is our God and He has empowered us. We need this divine visitation. Once again, people need it in their lives. Once again, that divine visitation of the Holy Spirit that'll bring change and renewal to the church again. So the world would see Jesus through His church. We can't expect Jesus to show up at everybody's front door. Amen. We can't expect that. We have to be the visual witness of Jesus Christ. The voice of Jesus Christ. Because we are empowered. We have that DNA. The second thing is the noticeable results. Found in Acts chapter 2 verses 5 through 12. That's the end of the DNA. First, the divine visit. Now secondly, the noticeable results. And at the time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise. Wow, they heard Pentecost. You see, Pentecost has a sound. It's not a quietness. It's a sound of praise, of joy, of magnifying the Lord our God. It's speaking faith and trusting in God no matter what. Praise be to the Lord our God. Praise be to the name of Jesus. Lifting up holy hands and praising His name and thanking Him for the mighty blessings that He outpours upon our life. Everyone came running. You see, when you hear the noise of Pentecost, people come running. The devil wants to quiet the church. The devil wants to quiet Pentecost. The devil wants to put the fire out in churches. Oh, don't get too emotional. Don't somebody shout too loud because we want people not to be afraid to come here. Don't lay hands on people when they come to up for altar. No, no, oh no, don't do those things. We don't, and don't anybody speak loudly in tongues because we may tell people that that they are different or something. You know what? Let me tell you what draws people to God. The fire of God. Amen. It's the fire of God, not the quietness, not that coldness, not that ability to not say anything or praise about anything. It's the fire of God. I'll tell you what drew me. It was I met people that were empowered by God. I met people that knew how to pray. I met people who knew how to live in victory. And I said, I want that. I want to know how to pray. I want to know how to live in victory. I want to know how to praise. I want to know how to move in power because I want to live not only as an overcomer, but I want to live as more than a conqueror, praise God, by the one who loves me, who I will never be separated from because I am empowered and I have spiritual DNA. Right. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Are you with me today, church? Yes. And they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They explained. These people are all from Galilee. Yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, in the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and all the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, and we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. You see, what I want to do is I want the world to ask again, what can this mean, this power? What can this mean, this speaking? How can we understand what's going on? Praise God. I remember when I was praying at my first church. I've always been a person of prayer from the day I got saved. But I was praying at an old wooden altar. Some of you have never seen those because you're very new Pentecostal. But in the old days, we had altars. Old wooden altars. Planks. I was praying and I was in the Spirit. And I felt something behind me. And I turned and there was a couple there, a sanctuary about this big, maybe a little smaller. There was a couple there in the back doors. Picture it just how the sanctuary is, but put a wooden altar right there. Same back door, same type of setup. And I felt their presence. And I was in the Spirit. And I turned and I said, "How can I help you? I'm the pastor and I'm in a prayer meeting with God right now, but I felt your presence." And she said, "I speak English, but my husband does not. We are from Romania. And we were walking by and we heard you praying. And what you don't realize, and maybe you do," she said, "are you from Romania?" I said, "No, I'm not. My roots are Irish roots and English roots." She said, "You were praying in the Romanian language. And you were inviting the Holy Spirit over and over again. You were saying, 'I invite you, Holy Spirit, to this place. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to this place. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to this place.'" I'm getting goosebumps right now just remembering what that was like to have them say that. And so when we heard that, we came in and we want to know why you know our language. And I said, "I was praying in the Holy Ghost." And she said, "You're Pentecostal." I said, "Yes." She said, "I'm so glad. Praise God." She turned to her husband and told him, and he said back to her, "It was pure Romanian. Tell him it was pure Romanian." You see, my friend, God knows what to do when someone's walking by and you don't even know they're there. Praise God. Hallelujah. There are stories after stories after stories I can tell you of Indian dialect, Native American Indian dialect that was spoken in meetings that I've been at where no one knew the language, but there was a couple Indians there and they got saved that night because they heard their language and God was saying, "Tonight is your night to be saved." This is spiritual DNA. This is real. This is alive and this is powerful. What can this mean? What does this mean to us today? What does this mean? It means that we have a DNA that the world doesn't have. They may have a secular way of doing things. They may have a New Age way of doing things. They may have this way of doing things that is spiritualism, using mediums, the various things, witchcraft, DNA, of the enemy of our soul, but we've got the DNA of the Lord God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Acts 2 and 13. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, "They are just drunk, that's all." Today, people want to mock and make fun of Pentecost. They want to say that we are drunk, and they want to say that we are something else. I've seen people drunk in the Spirit who were really drunk in the Spirit, and I've seen people try to act like they were drunk in the Spirit. Amen. But I'm telling you, when you really see it, it's real. Yes. I've seen people laugh in the Spirit, uncontrollably laughing, and I've seen people faking it. You know, they're laughing, but they're looking around to see who's watching them. I've seen the false. I've seen the mockery. But I've seen the real. I know that the spiritual DNA is real. It's alive. And it's what God wants for this church and every local church across this world. What He wants for every movement, every denomination, every independent organization, whatever label or titles people want to put on the body of Christ. They are the body of Christ, and Jesus Christ is our husband. Hallelujah. And we are His bride, and we are not to be wrinkled and rusty and tired. We are to be pure and holy before Him, praising Him with great power and might. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Amen. Drunkenness of the world will ruin your life. Drunkenness in the Holy Spirit will better your life. Sin and corruption has no power against God because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's the DNA we have. We need to show the world that we love people. We need to show them that we have the love of Christ. We need to show them that the power of God through joy, peace, understanding, forbearance, self-control, faith, and the signs of healing and real spiritual change that comes only from Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, is in us. I've said it so often. Often I've repeated this. And I don't know why people don't understand that we are walking advertisements of the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. When you don't even think people are looking, they are. We need to always show this DNA, always, because we need to put ourselves aside, like John the Baptist said. We need to decrease so He may increase. Let Jesus have it all. Let Him take everything that you have. Let Him have it all. And watch what He'll do through you, in you, and around you for the glory of the Father. We need to show noticeable results every day, not just Sunday. Every day, like every day is a day of Pentecost, that dynamic change. Christianity began to bring change to the world, and it still is bringing change. Great change. Billions of people. There's a prayer meeting going on right now that literally is so important. We're praying for 1 billion souls to be saved. 1 billion souls. I went to a prayer meeting the other day, just because I felt the Lord wanted me to go. So I went, and no one prayed for souls. They prayed for their own agenda. They prayed for everything that was nothing about winning souls or bringing change to the world or presenting Jesus to their community. It was just about what's going on in their local business or their agenda. And they wanted to pray for that. That's good. I'm not mocking. I'm not criticizing. But I walked away wondering, how come people don't pray for souls? I went to a meeting in Geneva, Illinois one time. Great ministers meeting there. Walked in and sat down. There was about 15 or 20 ministers there. So I stayed 2 hours. And they looked at me and they said, "Well, Pastor Dennis, I'm glad you're here. We here your church is a great church, and we're glad that you came over to be with us. Would you like to add anything? And of course, I said, yes, I've been sitting here for 2 hours. You've been telling me how much wealth is in your church and how many building programs you have and what's going on with your staff and all of the other stuff. I've listened for 2 hours, but I didn't hear one person out of all you ministers here ask for us to join together and pray for the lost in this great community. They just stared at me. I said, that's all I've got to say. They stared at me. I said, I'm leaving now. They stared at me. And they never called me back to come to their meeting again. You see, my friend, this is not a club meeting. This is the body of Christ. And our witness, our commission is to go ye into all the world, preaching and teaching and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And lo, I am with you always. Jesus gave us that authority. We have spiritual DNA. So a guy like me is not really popular around those circles, because I just have got too much spiritual DNA. I want to see people baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. I want to see people blessed by the anointing of God. And then thirdly, the announced promise, the A of the DNA. The announced promise. Peter replied in his great sermon that he did under the anointing of God, the first anointed sermon in the New Testament, on the day of Pentecost. Peter preaches, and in his message he says this in Acts 2 and 38, after giving the testimony of who Jesus and the lineage and the promise is. Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Because they had asked the question, how can we obtain this? How can we receive this? Not what is this, now it's how can we have this? Repent, turn, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then you can't buy it. You can't be popular enough to get it. You can't come from the most wealthiest family or the lineage of a family in a church. You must be saved first to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You must live for God. You must understand Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes into a clean house. Praise be the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. If you ever wondered if you were ever in the Bible, you're right there. 2 and 39. You're right there in the Bible. You were mentioned in the Bible. That should puff up some feathers and make you feel pretty good. You were mentioned in the Bible that all those, the promises for every generation upon generation. 3,000 souls were won there that day. And we need to understand, we need to preach the same message of salvation and power. We need to preach the same word, literally letting people know that God is good and God is alive. And not just for then, it's not just for a moment, but it has generational moment after moment after moment after moment. Your sons and your daughters will be saved. The power of God reaches beyond our days into eternity. That's right. David stated, Psalm 51, 8 through 13. Oh, give me back to my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Why did he write this song? Because he sinned. He sinned. He slept with another man's wife. Slept with her, the king that God anointed as a teenage boy at 13. A king
that God gave the strength
because of the DNA, the divine visit, the noticeable results, and the announced promise in his system. He was able to shut the mouths of bears and lions. He took down Goliath. He vaulted over walls. He found the rock that was much higher than he was. He knew that God's name was a high tower and many can run to it and find safety. He knew that the Lord was his shepherd and he shall not want. He makes him to lie down in green pastures. He leads them by the still waters. He restores their soul and takes them down the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And though he walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he will fear no evil because he knows his rod and his staff will comfort him. He knows that he'll prepare a meal for him in the presence of his enemies. He knows that he'll anoint his head with oil and his cup with runneth over. He knows as he's running along and he looks over his shoulders, he sees goodness and mercy following him all the days of his life. And he's assured that he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This same David sinned. But we got a God who forgives. But he wrote this psalm. It's so moving to me. I have a hard time even reading it without weeping. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. That old song comes to mind, and I hope I can do this, honey. I'm not sure. The old song says, Holy Spirit, fall fresh on me. Break me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Holy Spirit, fall fresh on me. That's what he was saying there. Holy Spirit, fall fresh on me. Can that be your prayer today?
Yes.
Fall fresh on me. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels and they will return to you. Yeah. Listen to your pastor, church. Listen to this preacher. Listen to this Pentecostal preacher. Listen to this man on fire. God wants to restore. He wants to rebuild. He wants to renew. He wants to recreate. He wants you to know the joy of your salvation. Once again, he wants you to tell the world that Jesus is alive and well. Yes. Hallelujah. The church once again asks the Lord for the fire and forgiveness. Oh, that the church would do that. That they would ask the Lord for that fire and that forgiveness. To be sanctified, set apart for service sake. Sanctify your minds. Get them out of the difficulties, the problems, the fears, the doubts, the worries, the woes, the bewilderment. Get them sanctified by looking into the Word. In Isaiah 26 and 3, you shall be in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Hallelujah. Thinking about Jesus. Thinking about Jesus. I challenge everybody that listens to this message today. Think about Jesus every day. Wake up thinking about Jesus. Go through the day thinking about Jesus. And before you go to bed, continue to think about Jesus. Seek the face of Jesus every day. He will lead you no matter what. He is there with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And filled with the power of the Holy One of Israel to have a clean heart and a right spirit again. I wonder today, how many people come to church just wanting to be petted? We're not puppies. We're God's children. And the church in America has got to wake up. It's got to wake up. It's got to say, wait a minute, this isn't right. What's going on in our nation? We're not praying. We're not fasting. And we certainly aren't showing spiritual DNA. We're not having our power thrown out there. The power of the Lord, that power He's given us, that earthen vessel, that treasure, that power, throwing it out there to people to know that the beckoning call of God is to come, to hear, to receive, and then to go. To come, to hear, to receive, and then to go. Hallelujah. Come to Jesus. Come to Him. Hear Him. Hear what He has to say to you personally. Not what He's saying to your neighbor or somebody else, but to you. To receive what He has for you. No matter what the cause or what the call, He has something for you. You have spiritual DNA in you. And then wait for the go. Because everyone's got to go. Go out there and tell someone about Jesus. Go out there and bless somebody. Go out there and lay hands on the sick that they might be healed. No, that they may be healed. Praise God. Go out and speak the word. Let God know that you've got that DNA and it's flying good. The engine's oiled with the Holy Ghost. And you're flying with God now as wings of an eagle above the storm. Amen. Above the storm. Not in the storm, but above the storm. Praise be to the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. With a cleansed heart full of love and fire. Not just love, but fire. Pastor, I've got all sorts of love, but I don't have the fire. Let me pray for you today. I believe you'll get the fire today. I believe that. Amen. To declare to all that Jesus lives. He's not dead. Hollywood's making all these movies. God's not dead. One, God's not dead. Two, I got something to say. God's not dead. God's not dead. John Lennon said it. My generation, God is dead. John's dead. God's not dead. Let me tell you something. The world doesn't like God. But God loves the world. Wow. Because of spiritual DNA, we love the world. We're not part of it, but we love it. Because we need to tell them that Jesus Christ lives. Not only does He live, He lives forevermore. He lives forevermore. Forever, Hebrews 13:5 states that. For God said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Have you ever felt abandoned? It's a lie from hell. Have you ever felt lonely? That's a lie from hell. You're never alone with Jesus. I told you that I was in a meeting with a bunch of preachers. Yeah, I get invited to these meetings. And I go with an open mind. And this one came as a bit of a surprise for me. That when I sat down, they pulled out a list of 10 sins. And they read the 10 sins. And then they asked everybody in the room to confess their sin that was on that list. So you know me. When it came around, they said, Pastor Dennis, what is your sin? I said, may I hear that again? He said, what is your sin? I said, first of all, I don't have any sins that are on that list. He said, are you kidding me? We know you travel and speak all over. We know that. We know you get in airplanes, you stay in hotels. We know your wife stays home. We know that when you're traveling and she can't go. We know that. So you're telling me that when you're alone in that hotel room, you don't watch an adult movie? And I was there for a moment. I looked around the room and just stared into each one's soul. They were waiting for me to come up with this answer such as, man, you guys are full of discernment. You really got me on this one. Wow, am I glad I'm here at this meeting. Would you pray for me? No, that wasn't me. I would never say that because it would be untrue. I said, sir, and he was from New York, this pastor was. I said, I'm not alone in the hotel room. He goes, what do you mean you're not alone? Is your wife with you? Is your children with you? Do you have another evangelist traveling with you? Or if it's a group meeting you're at, are you sharing a room with someone else? I said, no, I'm there. He said, then who's with you? And I went, Jesus.
Hello.
And of course, they got angry with me. And of course, I stood up and left and told them I didn't want to be part of their little sin meeting. No. You're never alone when you get saved. You got a friend all the time. He's there with you. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Amen. Amen. I'm glad for Jesus. Oh, what? I better close because I was about to say something that I don't know if this is, if can we just catch this? He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. But am I really his friend? Am I really his friend? Am I really his friend? I don't know. Is this just a song? Is this just a song? Did somebody make this up to make me feel happy when I'm in church? Is he really there for me? Yes, he is. He loves you all. He loves us. He loves this church. He loves the body of Christ. He gave his life for you and I. We are not alone. Hallelujah. With a cleansed heart. Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is the day the Lord has made, and let us rejoice in it. Praise God. Do you have that divine visitation? Do you have noticeable results? Are you living out the announced promise in your life? Do you know that you have this spiritual DNA in you? Praise God. Praise God for that. It's there. He loves each of us the same. Amen.